You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I'm your host, Nick Schreck, and joining me tonight for the week one preview, after he already showed us what Thursday Night Football is all about, it's the one, the only, it's Nick Walsh. What's up, bud?
Nothing, dude. It's great to be here. We are currently in the middle of the Thursday Night Football game, so football's been on. I can give a little bit of how my predictions have worked out, I suppose, but yeah, a little bit more enthusiastic sounding than I was in the other one. I turned on like the recording of that to just, you know, like see how I did. And yep. I was like, oh, wow, I sound like I'm about to die. And I was about to die. So I guess that makes sense. Anyway, what's up with you, dude?
Not much, man. I think we were all struggling just like you were. We had our big draft, obviously, in San Francisco this past weekend. A lot of poor decisions were made by many of us and in recovery mode. But feeling good now. It's great to have football back, man. Packers and Bears, close game so far. Some surprises, and Aaron Rodgers, unfortunately for me, does not look good to start.
yeah, that's certainly the case. I mean, there's still plenty of game to go. We're about halfway through the second quarter right now, but both defenses have looked great. And after I was like, I think Geronimo Allison's the guy to play, and Valdez-Scantling should be avoided. Valdez-Scantling has like a couple sick catches, and Allison is a ghost. So. You know, it is what it is, but that's all right. We'll see how the game ends up. And, until then, we'll try and get the most knowledge that we can get out there for the next couple of games.
You ain't kidding, Walshie. And you know, people are pumped. We're going into week one, obviously some NFL news before we get into the previews, but before we even get into it, Walsh, I want to give a shout out to MyBookie, who is the current sponsor of Let's Talk Fantasy Football podcast. Walsh, if you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or just keep walking? Of course, you'd take the money. We know how much you love your DFS and gambling. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, easy, and they pay you when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting, it's just as important as who you're betting on. So guys, if you use the promo code LETSTALK in all caps to sign up, they'll give you 100% sign-up bonus up to $1,000. So consider it as you guys are going into week one here. Obviously, make sure, guys, that you legally are old enough and in places that you can legally do this so you don't put yourself in a bind. But MyBookie is our top recommendation. And with that, Walsh, I think we need to touch on news before the week one previews. Those that gambled on Ezekiel Elliott win, quite frankly.
Yeah, dude, it's working out great for you if you did that. As someone who is buying into Tony Pollard a lot, I'm less pumped on it, but we'll see what happens. I think Pollard's earned himself at least a little bit of work. And honestly, if I were the Cowboys and I signed a guy to a 6-year extension, I would want to keep him. Like, I wouldn't want to run him into the ground right away. So no. I think there's room for both people to be right. But people who gambled on Zeke, good job. It paid off for you.
100%. Those that have gambled on Melvin Gordon, Walsh, have had an opposite fate so far. The Chargers have come out and very publicly said that they're not talking contract with him until after the season. They've given him the opportunity to explore a trade. We hear they're asking for a first, and I think it was a 5th-round pick. But right now, the outlook is grim for Melvin Gordon owners.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles threw out, I think I saw it was Jordan Howard and a mid-round pick swap, which like obviously wasn't going to get the job done. But yeah, that's the only trade offer that's really been reported to this point. So no progress in Melvin Gordon land.
Yep. So guys, those that drafted Austin Eckler, as I pat myself on the back, you can at least rest easy so far going into week one. And then Walsh, I hate to do it to you, but your Oakland Raiders seem to be imploding here with the Antonio Brown saga, with rumors swirling here. He's going to be suspended. The Raiders possibly doing it to get out of the guaranteed money in the contract. Obviously, that's pure speculation, but things are not going well in Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, they said they're planning to be without him for week one. We'll see how long this sort of thing goes, but right now it's looking like the Raiders' starting wide receivers will be Tyrell Williams, J.J. Nelson, and Hunter Renfro. So two deep specialists along with a quarterback who refuses to throw the ball deep. So we're looking pretty great there.
Yeah, I could tell you're super pumped. I know a lot of people have been. I know a lot of Steeler fans who were happy to see him go, and obviously now at this point they're super happy to see him gone. You know, he after the helmet saga, the freezing of his feet, and now this nonsense. We'll see when Mike Mayock finally draws the line, because it feels like he's got to be awfully close.
Yeah, I just want to be like done with it. It's
So you'd be cool if they suspend him, they get out of his contract legally, and just kick him to the curb.
I mean, like, at this point, like, when is it going to stop? You know, like, when is there a point? I don't see, like, relations have already gone south enough that, like, I don't see when Antonio Brown's going to be like, now it's cool for me to do this. And then, like, even if that's the case, like, the team comes out and they're fucking, like, you know, 6-10, and he's just like, fuck this, I want out. You know, like, he's not going to be happy on just, like, a bad team wasting away the end of his prime. So
I agree. I mean, and that was part of my concern when I saw him on the draft board this weekend was, you know, we've seen the helmet thing. They supposedly smoothed it over a little bit, but he's been stomping his feet and getting his way like a little kid for too long. And I guess this was inevitable. And I mean, look, obviously as a Chiefs fan, I don't want to see the Raiders do well, but I think the Raiders would be better off parting ways with Antonio Brown because he's not going to make anything any better there. Yeah. Because like you said, it's not like you guys are Super Bowl bound, you know, where he's going to be winning games and the guy. And for him, that's exactly what he wants. He wants to get paid and be the guy. That's never going to happen.
Certainly seems like it.
So, well, so let's stay in the AFC West as we start with our first preview of the night. And let's start with my Kansas City Chiefs first, Don's Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, he's a Green Bay Packer fan at heart, but we know he likes jagging off. But let's start on the Kansas City side of the ball. Some of these guys, I think a lot of these guys are no-brainer starts. Patrick Mahomes, you own him, you're starting him. The Jaguars defense has fallen off from where they have been. He's going to be just fine here against Jacksonville.
Yeah. I mean, Mahomes is an every week start. He's not like the number one quarterback matchup this week. But I mean, even against the Jaguars, this game has an over under of 52 points, and KC's a 3.5 point favorite. Like you don't sit quarterbacks who are stars in games with 52 point totals.
Absolutely not. And then I think we take it over to the running game, which we saw get really interesting this weekend, Walsh, with the Bills cutting LeSean McCoy. He comes and reunites with Andy Reid in Kansas City. I think that means an obvious downgrade. Well, maybe not fully obvious, but a downgrade to Damian Williams, right? You're paying a high price. I think LeSean McCoy gets more involved than a lot of people give him credit for. Maybe not here week one, but I think he works his way into a bigger share of the touches. And fills more of that Darwin Thompson role where people were super excited about him and the upside. And I think that's a knock on Damian Williams. I think he'll be fine here, but I think they're going to split more of the carries than people initially gave credit for this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think LeSean McCoy is going to play a legitimate role in this offense. If there's any week I'm comfortable starting Damian Williams, and I mean not comfortable, there's always risk with him here. But I think it's this week because LeSean McCoy just walked in the door. I know he's familiar with Andy Reid and his offense, but it might take a couple weeks to get him really ramped up to what they want him to do. Who knows? Maybe it won't. Maybe I'm full of shit. But it seems to me that this would still be a week that you can be at least mildly comfortable starting Damian Williams, and I'm not going near any of the other running backs this week.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you're trotting out Darwin Thompson or Sean McCoy, but very interesting to watch McCoy moving forward. I think that's kind of unquestioned. So if you got him late, as we know some people did, could turn out to be a very nice pick. Darwin Thompson obviously has gone the other way. In the receiving game, Walsh, I think this is obviously a super interesting week, right? Because Tyreek Hill, undisputed wide receiver one here for the Chiefs, obviously elite, but he draws Jalen Ramsey, right, as the coverage here. He's going to shadow Hill all game, according to the Jaguars defensive coordinator, John Wash. So that's going to limit some of his opportunity here. If you own him, you still have to play him, I think, but you have to temper expectations on Tyreek Hill in week one.
Yeah, I mean, Tyreek's the kind of guy who can just get behind a guy and then all of a sudden he's worth playing, you know? So he's always been kind of like a boom or bust player. It's a tough matchup, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he had a decent week with Ramsey shadowing him when they played last year. I could be wrong on that one. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
I'm not going to lie. I don't have the numbers in front of me either, but I believe he did, you know, so, but again, like you said, it's almost irrelevant because Tyreek Hill, if you drafted him, you're starting him. There's no way you have anybody unquestionably to start over him with, and your wide receiver too. So he's in your lineup. I think a guy who's super interesting, Wallace, that is not probably in a lot of lineups, Sammy Watkins, I think is a benefit here in this offense. I think he is going to see a ton of targets in this game. Obviously, we'll get to Travis Kelce, who's going to see his. But I do think Tyreek Hill with Jalen Ramsey on him, I think he starts the season off on the right foot here, Sammy Watkins. I don't know what his DFS price is, but I think he would be an interesting, probably cheap option if I were to look.
Yeah, I haven't really done much in terms of pricing, but I think Sammy Watkins is a guy that, like, if you waited a little bit on receiver, or if you ended up with him as a guy you're projecting to start, like, I don't think that's bad. Like you said, Ramsey is going to be used entirely to try and take Hill out of the game. So, I mean, targets are going to go elsewhere. And I think Travis Kelce is the biggest beneficiary of that. Yes. But Sammy Watkins should see some, you know, benefits of that as well. And with him fully healthy right now, knock on wood, you know, I see no reason to not roll him out there this week.
100%. And you touched on Travis Kelce. And I think that really sums it up as much as you really need to. He's going to be the biggest beneficiary here. You own him. You're starting him. I think he gets his first touchdown of many here against Jacksonville on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Is there anybody else on Kansas City side of the ball? I think that's their team is pretty stacked with talent.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how the kind of the third receiver spot shakes out, but no reason to really go after any of those guys right now.
I agree. Right now, you should have some options. So let's flip to the Jacksonville Jaguars side of the ball. You know, Nick Foles, you're not starting here, are you, Walsh?
I don't think he's like the worst start in like a deep league. I'm gonna have Nick Foles stacks. Like, I'm gonna have Jag stacks in DraftKings tournaments this weekend. So I mean, I'm fine with it. I don't think you need to, but if you're desperate or like, you know, you're in a 2QB league, I think Nick Foles is pretty solid this week.
All right. I knew it was coming because I know the state of the Chiefs defense as much as it pains me. And I know the opportunity that they do offer other teams, particularly in fantasy football. I'm trying to see where the stat is I had. I mean, you know, the Chiefs defense was the 31st worst defense last year in terms of total yards allowed. So between rushing and passing, not a great thing for them. Obviously, Dede Westbrook, a guy that has looked great in preseason with Nick Foles, saw 70% share of targets, 7 targets on 10 attempts, 4 catches for 29 yards and a touchdown. I think a nice opportunity here against a bad Kansas City defense to make some noise here in week one.
Yeah, huge fan of the Dede Westbrook play this week. He's a guy who, you know, as sort of a low depth of target slot receiver, mm-hmm. he's a guy who's going to need a high volume of targets on any given week in order to really pay off. And in a game where they're likely going to have to run a lot of plays just because Kansas City is going to get out ahead, they're going to have to catch up, they're going to have to play fast. It seems like a no-brainer that if you drafted Westbrook, you should be trying to fit him into your lineup in any way possible.
100%, I'm right there with you. And I think the only other Jacksonville Jaguar Walsh that I'm interested in, we touched on him, is Leonard Fournette. Against a bad Chiefs defense, I think he's in your lineup.
Yeah, 100%. Chiefs were last in run defense DVOA last year. They had a bad run defense. Leonard Fournette is supposedly going to – wow, Davante Adams just had a sick – oh, no, it was incomplete. Sorry. Leonard Fournette is supposedly going to get more work in the pass game this year. That's good for him. He's a guy I'm considering in daily as well because I really think it's a great matchup. And you said last guy, but not that you need to, but I think DJ Shark is going to show everyone that he's good this week.
Oh, boy.
You don't need to play him, but I think he's going to have a big week.
Wallace has got the smirk on because he was talking. He's been talking about Shark here, and he wants to prove himself right and prove the world right. So this is his claim to fame here, guys. So let's see. He obviously thinks highly. And I'll tell you what, Wallace, there may not be a better team for the matchup here in week one for Shark to have the opportunity to make it freaking happen.
Oh yeah, he can just like go off this week, and I'll be like, yeah, I was right, and then like he'll do jack shit the rest of the year. But like, as long as he goes off this week, fine, whatever.
Yeah, definite. That's it, man. When the pros go out after a Super Bowl win, you go out on top. Like, hey, that's it. I got nothing else to say on Shark the rest of the year. We're just gonna enjoy the ride, high all the way to the top. So, let's pick them, Walsh. I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Chiefs too.
Sweep it on through on to the Falcons versus the Vikings, 1 p.m. Eastern, guys. And Walsh, let's start on the – what side of the ball you want to start on?
Let's go Falcons.
Let's start on the Falcons side of the ball. Matty Ice leading the team. Obviously, he has a ton of weapons on offense. And there's really, I think, two ways you can look at this, right? The Falcons, I think, are going to go down – I don't know, quickly, but they're going to get down – I guess quickly might be the right word. I think they're going to be trailing. Ryan's going to have to throw the ball a lot. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for him to chuck the ball. On the flip side, the Vikings only gave up 196.2 yards per game through the air last year. Third in the NFL. They allowed 15 touchdown passes in 16 games. Not exactly the outlook you're looking for your QB1 as you go into week one.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough matchup to start, and I haven't been terribly high on Matt Ryan this year, but I mean, if you drafted him, you're probably starting him unless you have someone behind him like I said it the other night, Jameis and Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm going to keep saying it. If you have one of those guys behind them, then you should be starting them. But yeah, it's not great. I mean, the Vikings secondary, I don't think is as fearsome as it has been in the past. I think Xavier Rhodes was sort of bad last year and kind of just has the name recognition at this point. But it's still not ideal. And we also know that the Vikings want to slow the ball down or slow the pace of the game down and run it, which is also bad for Matt Ryan's, you know, stat totals.
Absolutely. But like you said, you haven't been big on Matt Ryan to begin with. So look at your opportunities, look at your streams out there, and see what you got. But Walsh, running back, Devontae Freeman, the Vikings allowed bottom 12 fantasy production to opposing running backs in 2018. They have the 11th most yards per target and 9th most yards per receptions to running back. So I think Freeman's damage comes, in the passing game here for him, not as much on the ground. But again, based on probably where you drafted them, you're rolling them out here against this Vikings defense.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the worst thing either. Like, you would expect the Vikings to go up in this game at home. If they let the Falcons kind of dink and dunk throughout the second half, like, that's all you really want. I mean, yep. Ito Smith, Brian Hill, and Kadre Olison, none of them are really great pass catchers. So Freeman should really have the pass catching role, even if it is late in the game and they're down.
That's all right. We love garbage time, baby. We love garbage time.
Yes, we do.
Points all the same. Points all the same. In the receiving game, Walsh, Julio Jones, top 10 pick in most places, top 12 pick, elite wide receiver. He gets matched up with Vikings corner Xavier Rhodes here. Obviously, a tough matchup for him, but the volume is going to be there. Julio Jones is in your lineup, period.
Yeah, there was like a bunch of weird shit that came out today where he was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to play. And then he was like, no, I'm going to play. But like, I don't know. It seems like he might be upset about the contract situation. Plus, like, he's dealing with like undisclosed injury. But then they said he missed practice today due to rest, not due to injury. So like, there's some weird shit going on. But as long as he's going out there on Sunday, you're playing Julio Jones on Sunday.
100%. If he's active, he's in your lineup. Just keep your eye on the weird shit going on. Calvin Ridley, I think, has a nice opportunity here. Obviously, we're looking down on Matt Ryan, but I think with Julio Jones coverage, it gives him an opportunity as he goes up against Trey Waynes. I think they just got to throw the ball, and I think it creates the opportunity for Calvin Ridley here.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to Calvin Ridley this week. He's not a guy I was really high on either this year, but if you did draft him in a situation where he's a starting wide receiver for you, you were obviously higher on him than I was.
Yep.
And if that's the case, then like, you likely expect a good week from him this week. Cause like you said, it's not a bad matchup for him. It's not a bad situation.
Opportunities there. And Walsh, the guy I have to ask you about here is Hoop Daddy, Austin Hooper. Is he a guy that you're putting in lineups, or are you spinning the wheel for tight end?
I don't really think the matchup is like really good or bad for Hooper. So yep. Again, if you like him this week, you like him. I think there's other guys who might be better week one spin the wheel type options.
I'm with you. I mean, I'm playing that wheel. I own Jordan Reed, so I am as deep down into the wheel as it can possibly get. That's really all I have on the Falcons, Walsh. I don't really have anything on Mohamed Sanu here, and I think that's pretty much the fantasy relevant guys.
Yeah, I think you're dead on there.
All right, let's flip it on to the other side. Let's talk about the Minnesota Vikings. Dalvin Cook, I want to start there just because obviously injured, comes back, and you know he was drafted highly, second round pick here in most drafts. He had that big 85-yard touchdown in the third preseason game. A lot of big plays, I think, expected from Dalvin Cook. And I think he has a nice matchup here against the Atlanta Falcons where he can showcase some of that and show that he is back here in week one for us.
Yeah, I mean, for a couple of years, sort of the axiom has been pass-catching running backs against Atlanta, and, like, you just play those, you know. And Dalvin Cook can catch passes. He's shown that he's a very, very good runner. Outside of the top three guys who went in draft, Saquon, McCaffrey, and Kamara, I think Dalvin Cook's the best running back play in the league on this week. I think he's just going to eat and continue to eat for the entire game.
Well, take it right there to the bank, guys. Kirk Cousins leads them at the helm, Walshy. I got to think you probably didn't draft Kirk Cousins, and you probably have another option you're rolling out there in this game.
Yeah, there's no real reason to. Like I said, I think they can really get the job done with Cook this game. If anything, I think they might, if they, you know, get up, I think they might work Madison in enough. I'm kind of interested to see how that breakdown works. But, you know, we'll see. It really all depends on the game script. But based on the game script that I'm expecting, Cousins is going to be almost a non-factor in this game.
So that brings us to the wide receivers then, Walsh, because you got Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Diggs obviously has been banged up. I'm trying to see. They elevated him with a hamstring injury to being a limited participant after not practicing on Wednesday. We'll see what his status is on Friday, guys, as you're listening to this. You may know already at that point, but he did limited practice today on Thursday. Thielen is healthy and obviously had that bit of a skyrocket start, that big drop down to reality. But he goes to have a nice game here, especially with Diggs being banged up. I think it continues to create big fantasy opportunities. I know you are a big Thielen guy. We talked about this a little bit during the draft, but
yeah, I'm not really big on either Vikings wide receiver this year. I just think they're going to try and run the ball a lot. You know, I guess the good thing is that really the theoretically the volume should go to both of those guys. The thing I'm scared about with Thielen is that he's not going to be in the slot as much this year because their third wide receiver, Chad Beebe, is like a slot only type of guy. So Thielen, I am pretty worried about. Diggs, I'm worried about because he's injured, and Diggs, when he's been on the injury report over the past couple of years, has been very difficult to predict because he's a guy that they've sort of been willing to run out there as like a distraction type guy, almost, it seems like, the way Calvin Johnson used to sometimes.
Yep.
Even when he's a little bit hurt. So, I mean, if you drafted these guys, you're starting them. You drafted them in positions where they're your starters. I don't think either of them are good starts this week.
Yeah, like you said, I think if you own them, you got to roll them out there. But outside of that, there's nobody else I'm interested in from a fantasy perspective, not even Mr. Kyle Rudolph.
I will say if they didn't have Irv Smith there, I think Kyle Rudolph might be a guy who I would be willing to stream at tight end. But just as a general thing, I think Irv Smith is going to eat into a lot of the tight end snaps. They're going to split snaps a little bit. Maybe Rudolph will be used in more of a blocking role than he has in the past. So I know Rudolph is a name that people know if you've been around fantasy football for a long time.
Yep.
And the Falcons aren't a bad matchup for him, but I don't think it's the right year or time to do this.
All right, hard pass. Go spin the wheel instead of gambling on Kyle Rudolph. Walsh, let's pick him. I'm taking the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Vikings as well.
Let's sweep it on through. We are 2-0 here on our picks. Titans versus the Cleveland Browns, 1 p.m. Eastern start, Walshy. And for the Titans, I think there's My favorite guy for them, Delanie Walker, playing against a team that had the seventh worst defense defending against the tight end. If you own Delanie Walker, this is 100% the week to have him in your lineup. He's shown the chemistry with Mariota, and I think this is a must-start situation for him.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I think Delanie is literally the only start that you should be making on the Titans. Is that outlandish to say, or do you agree?
No, my notes here literally are Corey Davis is not someone that I want involved at all. I own him, and he's going to, as many people said during the draft, he's going to be one of those guys where I never really know what to do with week to week. Very frustrating to own, I think. You know, Derrick Henry, I don't think is anywhere near a must start. I just, you know, I like that he averaged 21 carries per game the last 4 weeks of 2018, but I don't know what that translates to against essentially a reborn Cleveland Browns team.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland's just like they're at home. Like I think they're so much better of a team, and also there's some issues right now with Tennessee's line. So Taylor Lewan, their starting left tackle, who is an incredible left tackle. And from what I've heard from a buddy of mine who went to Michigan, a real jerk, he is out with a suspension. Their right tackle, Jack Conklin, he is currently out with an injury, I believe. And so there's issues at offensive line. And Derrick Henry, just, he needs the right game script. And I don't think this is going to be the right game script.
Yep, I completely agree. And obviously, the environment there in Cleveland is going to be insane. I think would be a fair, you know, the hype, the excitement, the fans finally having something to chew on there. OBJ, and I mean, you could argue anything, but you obviously have a lot of big names, a lot of big guys here. And I think that takes us right into the Brown side of the ball, Walsh, because like you said, there's not a ton there on the Titans side. QB Baker Mayfield, obviously leading the charge here. Nick Chubb at running back. David Njoku at tight end. Odell Beckham Jr. Leading the charge at wide receiver. They've got a ton of talent, a lot of mouths to feed in this offense.
Yeah, there are a lot of mouths, and I think this is a game where they're not going to have to run a ton of plays. Like, I expect this to be pretty one-sided. So I don't really see very high ceilings for anyone in this game outside of Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is going to eat. The Titans run defense isn't spectacular. They were 15th in DVOA last year, and they haven't really done anything that you would think would change that. So Nick Chubb should be able to really get his, and then Baker, I think, has a high floor, not really a high ceiling, because you wouldn't expect this game to be a shootout. And then Odell should you know, pretty much just do his Odell things in this game.
He'll be Odell. He'll get upset on the sideline about something on the field. That's pretty much icing on the cake, I think, as far as OBJ is concerned, Walshy. Again, you own him. He's in your lineup. You drafted him early. It is week one. Don't get fucking cute is pretty much as the best way I can put it. I don't really have anything to add, Walsh. I think Nick Chubb, like you said, is the play, and the rest of it. I don't own a ton of Cleveland Browns either, so I'm just interested to see. I know we talked about them a couple podcasts early on in the season as a potential Super Bowl contender pick here from our very own Nick Walsh. So we'll see what start they're off to here in week one.
Yeah, and I just want to mention, I think this is a bad time to play Jarvis Landry. You know, similar to D.D. Westbrook, he's a short A-dot guy who needs a lot of targets. Unlike D.D. Westbrook, I don't think this is a game where there's going to be a lot of targets for him. So I would be trying to do everything I can to not play Jarvis Landry. And I would also be shying away from David Njoku, because unless he catches a touchdown, he's the kind of guy who could leave you with one catch for 12 yards in this game, like, no problem.
Total TD or bust. So spin that fucking wheel, guys. Walsh, let's pick them.
I'm going to take the Browns.
I would love to split, but I'm also going to take the Browns. So we're going to sweep the first three games through, just because we have to, I think, which is going to lead us to, guys, an announcement here from MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. And I can't agree more. We're pumped to have football back. Now's the time, guys. Use promo code Let's Talk at MyBookie to get 100% sign-up bonus up to $1,000. We want to see you win We want to win, and most importantly, we want to see you win some fantasy football championships. Boss, let's get right back into it and talk Bills and Jets. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me, man. Let's do it.
Does it sound good, though? Because it's the Bills and it's the Jets.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I'm intrigued by this matchup. I want to see what the Adam Gase-led Jets, who have looked so good in the preseason, do in the regular season. I want to see how this Bills defense looks. I want to see John Brown score a touchdown.
You might be one of the very few people I know that have so much excitement and enthusiasm, because I think your description of this game almost just had more enthusiasm than the solo podcast on the Thursday night preview. So either that shows how highly you feel about this game, or maybe a combination of how much hangover you were feeling from drafting what could be another championship back-to-back season for you. Hopefully not, but all right. So let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. John Brown. I don't know, man. Adam Gase's track record of Miami against the Bills defense is brutal. No 100 yard receiving games the past two seasons. Obviously John Brown, I think has the opportunity here. I don't know. I can't get excited about rolling him out here. I really can't.
Yeah, I'm of two minds here, because on one hand, I think the Jets cornerbacks are ass. I think they're extremely bad, and I don't think they should be an issue. On the other hand, they brought in Greg Williams as their defensive coordinator. Greg Williams likes to do two things: stop the run and stop big plays. So that's like his whole mantra, which means he tends to give up a lot of chunk yardage over the middle of the field on sort of short to intermediate gains. That's not really John Brown's game.
Yep.
So if he's looking to stop big plays, then John Brown theoretically should be stopped. That being said, John Brown, I think, is just way better than anyone in the Jets secondary. So I don't know. I'm of two minds. I'm considering sprinkling in a little John Brown in DFS lineups. In the leagues that I own him, I will not be starting him, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I have the I don't have the guts to do it. So he may be a DFS lineup, like you said, but he will not end up in any of my standard leagues. Frank Floor, running back. I think we all know how we feel about Frank Floor. And then Devin Singletary, obviously, behind him. TJ Yeldon, I'll give a shout out to, because he's TJ Tasty. But you're not rolling any of these guys out there.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the work breakdown looks like, to see what the snap breakdown looks like. But I'm not doing anything right now with it.
And I quite frankly think you can't start anybody on this offense with confidence here in this matchup.
No, not with confidence. Like I said, the Greg Williams defense has sort of been, giving up chunk intermediate or short to intermediate yardage. So like, I'm mildly interested in Zay Jones as maybe someone who could outproduce, what you would think. But it's nothing I'm really willing to put, a real stamp on. I also don't really have any interest in starting Josh Allen this week.
Nope. I'm with you. I think we're going to take the wait and see approach. On the flip side of the ball, Le'Veon Bell gets his, we'll call it his re-debut, after taking a season off, here in week one of the NFL season. I was fortunate enough to get him to fall into the second round of our draft. Super psyched. He is in my lineup and he will start. But Bills Mafia and those fans are going to be ready for him.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the guy hasn't really played a snap of football since, what was it, 2017.
So, wild.
He didn't play at all in the preseason. So we'll see. If I'm the Jets, I don't know if I'm, going full bore here, but I also don't know how to predict it. I think it's possible that Ty Montgomery
works
in a little bit more than you would think, based on the name Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
But still, Le'Veon Bell's a locked-in starter for your team. I don't think there's any question there.
Nope, I completely agree. Obviously, Walshy, we've got Sam Darnold at the helm leading the team. Wide receiver one, Robbie Anderson. And Ryan Griffin's the starting tight end here for the Jets while we wait for the promised child to return from suspension.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I don't think there's anyone that I'm really looking to start. I think Buffalo's defense is going to be very, very good this year. I mean, last year, they were number two in pass defense DVOA. That doesn't bode well for Darnold. And it seems like that they should be in that same sort of area again this year. So I'm not going out of my way to start any of these Jets. And you likely didn't draft them except for maybe Robbie Anderson in a situation where you need to start them this week. So if you need to start Robbie Anderson, sure, I would try and look for other options that maybe you drafted a little bit later, see if they're in better situations than going up against the tough Buffalo defense.
I agree. And Bills Mafia is ruthless. I'm actually super excited to see them on NFL Sunday. The news of them breaking through tables, probably lighting someone on fire. I'm sure there's something that they'll be up to that'll excite us as fantasy football fans. But let's pick this game. I'm taking the Jets.
I'm going to take the Bills.
All right. First split. Do you actually want the Bills or are you doing it to split?
I was doing it to split, but I don't necessarily disagree. I don't have strong opinions on either one of these.
Okay. That's as I thought, as I said it, I'm like, oh, I actually could see the Bills, but I'm going to take the safe bet because that's the coward that I am. Let's talk about the Ravens and the Dolphins, Walshy. 1 p.m. Eastern game as well. Now let's start on the Baltimore side of the ball. I think there are two guys here that are absolutely stars. I guess you could call it three defenses. The Ravens defense against the Dolphins here, I think, are a great streaming option if they weren't drafted that way for the opportunity in week one. You have Mark Ingram here. The Dolphins were the fourth worst defense against the run last year, according to Fantasy Pros. I think he has a great opportunity. And Lamar Jackson, I think, can obviously do it on the ground as well. And I don't think he's going to have a ton of resistance against a bad Miami team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Mark Ingram is a must play this week, no matter where you drafted him. I'm interested to see how this touch breakdown does work out. Because we've heard that they are going to work in Gus Edwards and rookie Justice Hill a little bit. That being said, I think Ingram's going to dominate it this week. I think he's the guy who's really going to push it all together. And it's also, I'm not sure that whatever split they use this week is going to be totally indicative of the rest of the season, because this could be a blowout early. The Dolphins are garbage. They are tanking on purpose. There's really no two ways about it. Just the way that they've acted recently. So yeah, I'm right there with you. Mark Ingram, Lamar Jackson, though I think the ceiling for Lamar Jackson is not necessarily what we want. It is a comfortable floor.
Yep.
And to me, that's it. I'm not trying to roll out anyone else. I know some people like Mark Andrews. I'm not trying to play a part-time tight end on a team that's going to run the ball, like fucking 37 times.
They may run the ball 99% of the plays. It's definitely possible. So, obviously, I'm having a little fun there. But, yes, I agree with you, Walsh. Spin the fucking wheel if that's where your tight end looks. And it shouldn't. You're in week one, right? You should have drafted somebody that's not him. So you should have some opportunities. The Miami Dolphins also just so good all around. I don't even know where I want to start on who I want to recommend to the fans. Can I say nobody?
Yeah, totally. The only situation that I would use a Dolphins player is Albert Wilson in a daily fantasy lineup. That's it.
DFS it is. And it seems like we've got quite a few good matchups here whilst we're able to breeze through them, because quite frankly, it is what it is with some of these bad teams. Let's pick them. Baltimore Ravens sweep.
Yeah, I think so. We're not going to split this one.
No, we're not. Unfortunately, and I have a feeling we may only split one here on the podcast in part one, Walsh, as we wrap up with our final matchup of the podcast, the Washington Redskins at the Philadelphia Eagles, a 1 p.m. Eastern start. And what side of the ball you want to start on here?
Let's start with the Redskins, because I think it's like the Dolphins. I don't want to play anyone.
I agree. Super interested to see what happens with Darius Juice, Adrian Peterson, and that backfield, health, touches. They're just a bad team. I was talking to somebody today at work and they were like, well, I drafted AP late. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I get it. You didn't spend really much draft capital, if any, to get him, but it's just a bad team. They're going to be bad at football. And Ed, I'm sorry, but it's just the truth. The Redskins are going to be a bad football team.
Yeah, 100%. You're right. I'm interested in the workload for the running backs. I think that'll be something that's important to track. The one I said I didn't want to play anyone. If I'm going to, it's going to be Jordan Reed, because the Eagles defense last year allowed the second most fantasy points to tight ends. And if anything, I think their linebacking core got worse. So Jordan Reed could be a guy who could put up a little, you know, some numbers if he does play. I think right now they're saying he's expected to start, but he's still in the concussion protocol. So that's something you're going to likely have to keep an eye on until Sunday morning on that one.
Yeah, Jordan Reed better play, man. He's on my team. You know he's going to miss at least 6 or 7 games this season. So I need him to perform while he still can. Because if he doesn't, then I'm just gonna have to spin the wheel with some other below average option, and that's usually one of the big things that screws me every year, Walsh. If we're just putting all the cards on the table, we're gonna lay a heart out there for the fans, and it's bad tight end picks. I'm usually better off with a zero.
What can you do?
I could be better, Walsh, but you know that's
that's true.
Unfortunately, at tight end, I don't think that's gonna happen. Philadelphia Eagles side of the ball, Walsh. Carson Wentz obviously leads the charge. Zach Ertz came off the board as tight end number 3 in most drafts. DeSean Jackson, tripping over myself. DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey. They've got a lot of talent all over the place. Who do you love? Who do you not? We heard news that the running back situation is one that's going to be kind of, I don't remember the exact quote. I don't know if it was a committee, a three-headed monster. I don't remember the exact phrase that came out today, but I did see a scary quote if you're a Miles Sanders owner or anybody in that backfield for that matter.
Yeah, for sure. I think starting with Wentz, I think he has an extremely high floor. Again, like the running game, I don't think it's not like Baltimore where they're going to crush this team and do it completely through the running game.
Yeah.
The Eagles are going to crush this team and they're going to do it at least in the beginning of the game through Carson Wentz. So I'm fine with starting Carson Wentz. I mean, he was likely drafted to be your starter if you did draft him. So please go ahead and feel free to do that. In terms of the running backs, I don't really know to start or where to start. You might've drafted Miles Sanders to be a starter. I hope you didn't. I think you should try and look for other options if you did.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't think it's like guaranteed that he's going to have a bad game. They should be up. I just don't know whether – I don't know in the early down running aspect, in the passing down aspect, and in the red zone aspect, which of Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, and Darren Sproles are going to be involved in any of them. Because Sproles is a guy who can do all three at different stages of the game.
Yep.
Howard, outside of the pass-catching aspect, could be involved as an early down runner and in the red zone. And Sanders, it seems like, is a very complete running back who, you know, if given the chance, could be a three-down guy. But it seems like, based on what they've been saying, that this is going to heavily be a committee. So based on that, it looks like Miles Sanders got a little bit overdrafted, unless things change pretty quickly, which is entirely possible.
But 100%.
Right now, if you had to choose between the three of them, who are you choosing?
Yikes. Well, one, I think I blacked out for the whole thing as soon as you said Jordan Howard, because I'm just having flashbacks of a bad year in 2018. I think I'm rolling the dice on Miles Sanders. I think if I have to play one of them, it's him. I think just the things we've heard, again, it's coach speak in the preseason, all this other kind of stuff. Obviously, Darren Sproles can do it all. I don't know. I just think there's something a little bit exciting about Miles Sanders there. But that's with, like, if I, out of the three, I guess I'll say like that's 34% confidence, with the other two at 33. You know, just to get, you know, it's literally like I'm picking one because I have to.
Yeah, that's fair. I think if I had to pick one for this week only, I think it would be Jordan Howard.
Oh my God. Drop it.
I wouldn't be surprised if they ease Sanders into it, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're up in the second half and they just kind of, you know, use him to eat out the rest of the game.
I mean, he's good at just fucking chewing up 1 yard at a time and not totally being fantasy relevant. Maybe he tumbles into the end zone.
I don't think eat out the game is the phrase that I was looking for. I realized that after I said it. I was like, wow, that's not a phrase.
It is now.
I'm going to eat out this football game.
I'm going to eat. Ooh, wow. Yeah, we're getting real. Something with Rodgers and the sex hotline, I think, has really just gotten this podcast off the rails, and we are still rolling. We're going to eat out this football game. Jordan Howard, all-you-can-eat buffet, my man. I got to get off this, and let's go over to the wide receivers, Walsh. DeSean Jackson, I think, I don't know that I am, you know, rolling him out here into my regular lineup. I think a high upside under the radar guy for daily fantasy. I think he's got some sleeper potential. Again, I don't know what his price is, but I think there's a good opportunity. Josh Norman gave up 8 touchdowns and 258 yards after the catch in 16 games. It was a reason I liked DeSean Jackson, our first or second podcast on when we were on together. Just something about the speed. I still think he's got that ability to kind of make that big play, and it wouldn't shock me if he did it here against Washington.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think DeSean Jackson's an interesting play. I think he's a guy that if you're short on wide receivers, you can roll out. I think it's sort of the same thing with Jeffrey, where Jeffrey is dependent on getting that red zone target or getting, you know, a red zone touchdown. DeSean Jackson's dependent on breaking that big play. I think they're both similar in different ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're here to eat out this game. So it's fantasy points galore. If you own Ertz Walsh, he's obviously in your lineup. You are playing him. And quite frankly, I think this might be the easiest preview we've done yet, because that should do it on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I think, you know, there you might have interest in Aguilar, like maybe Dallas Goedert some people are interested in. I don't think you should be digging into that yet.
Super, super gross. Yeah, I don't think they're coming to the all-you-can-eat buffet. Let's pick them, Walsh. Can we sweep the Eagles?
Yeah, we can do that.
So literally the only thing here that's going to split us apart is going to be – what game did we split?
The Bills and the Jets.
Yikes.
Oh, one more note on the Eagles. I think their defense is the best play of the week.
Yes, great point that we would have missed. 100%, I agree with you. And they were obviously drafted, so whoever has them – well done to you. I know that was something I'm sure you looked at going into drafts, Walsh, about that.
They were the defense that I targeted in every draft.
Great, great matchup. I really can't look past the fact of, one, the excitement for the Bills and Jets coming from you, and two, the fact that they're the one that's going to determine who leaves this week, possibly up and pick them, which is kind of scary. but Bills, Jets, take it to the bank, guys. We split. Do you have anything else for the people, Walsh?
No, good luck with week one. You know, I hope everything goes your way and you win a pot of gold or whatever it is. That's what we play fantasy for, pots of gold?
Pots of gold.
Okay, cool.
Something like that. Something like that. So All You Can Eat Buffet starts Sunday morning, guys, 1 p.m. Eastern. Part two of the fantasy week one preview will be coming out this weekend, so stay tuned. Get your lineups ready. Start sending in your questions, guys. We try and typically wait till Thursday to really start hitting fantasy lineup questions just because so much can change with injuries and everything else. So start sending them in, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you name it. We are there. You can also send them in via email, info@letstalkfantasyfootball.com. They will be there. Maybe we'll talk a little DFS picks on part two. Maybe we'll get a little insight from Walsh here since he is he clearly has probably 15 or 20 lineups already in. Am I wrong?
I got a decent amount in there.
There it is. There it is. He's bashful, folks, but he is he's looking forward to week one, I think, more than anybody I know. So get those lineups set. Good luck. We'll be back with part two. As always, guys, I am Nick Schreck. He is Nick Walsh. We are here from Let's Talk Fantasy Football. We will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.